Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Friday. It is the 7th of January, 2022. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today for the first Security Friday of the year, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here. Happy Friday. And I didn't think of that either. This is our first Security Friday for 2022.
Yeah. So, we're back. So if you're used to the routine, then great. And if, as long as you appreciate, Secure My Stuff Friday. Hi, Nate. then, you know, I'm glad we're here. The good news and the bad news is we're here to talk to you about more security stuff. So, yeah, that's sort of the bad news about, us being back for that. So, turns out, the nefarious actors in the world are back on their BS in the new year. So,
yeah, because I don't think we have any good news.
No, we have some tips and we'll talk about that later. I do want to point out that today's episode is brought to you by ZocDoc, but, we'll talk about them in a little while. First up, we have sort of a PSA because there's been something that got a little traction in the last few days over on social media on various platforms. I've seen it from a number of places. And it's not that it's not new, but it's apparently causing some people a lot of consternation. So I'm going to let you take it away.
Yeah, I think Jeff Butt said this was added last summer, I think.
But yeah, like I think in said, June. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know anything about it either, but I saw the Twitter traction. And that is Norton Antivirus is including a cryptocurrency miner in its software by default. However, at least like the one good thing is that it's not turned on by default.
Yeah.
You have to do it. They have this Norton crypto dashboard. I linked to their FAQ in my link teaser. They do have some system requirements for it. And yeah, it says you can mine on every computer that has Norton 360 installed with an active subscription. As long as you meet those system requirements, of course. So here's the part. If you know about crypto, they say Norton creates a secure digital Ethereum wallet for each user. The key to the wallet is encrypted and stored securely in the cloud, which is not good.
Yeah.
They do say only you have access to the wallet. And then they support transfers of Ether from the wallet to Coinbase. They do say they do collect some fees on top of that. They say 15% coin mining fee they mention.
Yeah. But, so fun. Yeah. So you can turn it off. And sort of the other thing to know here is that in the olden days, Norton used to be the only game in town. If you wanted to have anything resembling virus protection on your Mac, it was Norton or nothing. And that's not the case anymore. So if you or potentially family members of yours are paying for Norton, there are free alternatives that can basically get you to the same place, which is reasonably secured against malware and ransomware and the sorts of stuff that we tell you about here every Friday. So
yeah.
You can use something like Malwarebytes, which will scan for viruses and malware. Clean My Mac is another one that will scan for at least a certain amount of that. Avast is one. Kaspersky, I think, makes a home security option for folks. Andrew, you had one that you mentioned before the show that I now can't remember that you used briefly.
Yeah, so I have used Malwarebytes before. I like them. I've also used a little bit of Sophos Home. I want to say, if I can remember right, that they used to be paid only, but they do have a free version now.
Okay. Yeah. And so there are other options. Obviously, you can. All of these come with come in paid flavors, at least. I know Malwarebytes does, and Avast and Kaspersky, I think, offer the paid options. And it's not that you get better protection with the paid options. You get the same protection no matter what, but particularly I happen to know because I've installed it a few places, Malwarebytes doesn't let you automatically schedule like the scans to run in the background or anything. You have to open it up and run the scan yourself, which is not the worst thing. You know, you set a reminder and it pops up every few days and you run your, you know, run your scan and everything's fine and you move on with your life. So hopefully for the most part, that's not going to be too big a deal for people. But FYI, if you've seen a bunch of headlines about it, this is one of those. It's certainly newsworthy because I don't remember hearing about it before now. But what you're hearing about it is not necessarily as concern inducing, I guess, as it could be. So yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah, like it's been there since June, so if you're all of a sudden worked up about this, it's been on your computer for at least 6 months already. And you know it, so if it's a thing that you're very upset about and you're just finding out about it now, you should pay a little more attention to the stuff that you have installed, which is the kind of thing we tell you here. I think Andrew, you told me when we were discussing this before the show that like you're the biggest thing that you do for making sure that your data is protected and there's not weird stuff on your computer is use things that like monitor your network so that there's not weird requests going other places. So
network monitoring, I got a free firewall.
There's basic stuff you can turn on in macOS
as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, Little Snitch and things like that are Wireshark are good things to let you know exactly what kind of traffic you're getting on your network, and that'll help too. So those are good. So there you go. There's some information for today. Now we have a bug in iOS that we want to talk about.
And this one is really weird, I think.
Yeah.
So this comes from security firm ZecOps. They found this, what they call the ultimate persistence bug for iOS. They dub it No Reboot.
Okay.
And it can trick the user into thinking the device has been shut down when it really wasn't. Now, it's weird because they say this is a bug that cannot be patched because it's not exploiting any persistence bugs. It's only playing tricks with your mind.
Oh.
So that is a crazy introduction.
Yeah. This bug just messes with you. That's really bad.
Yeah. Psychological warfare.
Yeah. That's the worst kind.
So the bug, it hijacks a shutdown signal and then it makes it. So it hijacks this shutdown signal. There is something going on with Springboard that they are able to inject some code into to trick you, to make you think that your phone has been powered off. There is, like, it sounds like the microphone and camera can still be accessed.
Okay.
So basically, you know, you think your phone is turned off when it could secretly be, you know, a spying device.
Yeah. That's
so
not great.
Let's see, what did they say? So they mentioned, you know, various ways that we can tell that the iPhone is powered off. Ring and sound from notifications, touch feedback, vibration. All those can be disabled with this. And like they said, so they also shared their source code, proof of concept.
Okay.
They also say they have software that can help people inspect their device. You know, they have a free trial, but yeah, the scary thing is it doesn't sound like this can be fixed, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, and there's a video, as always, we have links to all of these articles in the show notes and, you should definitely check out the video for this because it was very, very weird. So, and especially cause we can't fix it. So, it's a very odd thing. It's a very odd thing to see happen. And I'm going to be curious to see where it goes going forward, just to see if it is something where maybe, there's a way to block this from taking advantage of what it's taking advantage of. We'll find out. So we have a couple more news items to give you in a minute, and as always, a practical tip. But first, I'd like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is ZocDoc. Now, ZocDoc allows you to compare doctors by rating, and you can read reviews from actual patients. Just download the free ZocDoc app. It's the easiest way to find a great doctor, and you can instantly book an appointment. So search for highly rated doctors. You can find in-person or video appointments with local doctors. So they're in your area and they take your insurance. And it's not just for primary care. You can find a psychiatrist or a dentist or an eye doctor or any other kind of specialist. They have a really long list. And ZocDoc makes healthcare easy. Now is the time to prioritize your health. Go to ZocDoc.com/TDO and download the ZocDoc app to sign up for free and book a top-rated doctor. Many are available as soon as today. That's ZocDoc.com/TDO, ZocDoc.com/TDO. I'd like to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the show today. So this week, we are sort of debuting a new segment. I would say it's the soft launch because I think we've done it enough before. This week we do not have This Week in Data Breaches. We have This Week in Ransomware. I don't hear you at all, Andrew.
Design.
There we go. Hold on. I lost all of that. Your audio was gone until just this second.
Oh, that happened again?
Yeah, but this time you weren't grayed out. So I'm going to give you a couple seconds of just give me a couple seconds of silence and then go for it. But you could act like, hey, This Week in Ransomware, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So, yeah, we have that theme, our recurring theme, This Week in Ransomware. That has happened a lot in the past year.
Yeah.
So this one is an attack on Final Sight. They're a company that helps websites, schools with their websites, like hosting, design, content management. So in a statement, they said it was hit by a ransomware attack, but it just happened. They say it happened on January 4th.
Wow.
And it sounds like it's the attack has stopped, but they are still, you know, trying to fix it.
Uh-huh.
So I want to say, you know, kudos to Final Sight, because there have been some other ransomware attacks where we only find out about them months later.
Yes.
And that happens with data breaches, too.
Yeah.
So I think this is good. They're updated every step, like this is still occurring. We're still trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, on Tuesday, January 4th, our team identified the presence of ransomware on certain systems in our environment. They're working with third-party forensic specialists. They stopped it, and now they're trying to fix it. So they say
Great.
The team was able to regain full access to their files and data. They do say there is no evidence that anything was stolen, but the investigation remains ongoing.
Okay.
Oh, and also, by the way, I forgot to mention up top that they've shut down 5,000 websites for schools, for their customers.
Wow.
But interestingly, it wasn't the ransomware that did that. They say they did it as a means of protection. So TechCrunch was able to speak with one of their spokespersons, and it says, the malware issue is not what caused sites to go down. We took them down to protect our clients' data.
Wow.
Yeah.
They are not kidding around. So, yeah, uh-huh. Some ransomware group got tangled up with the wrong folks because they mean business, and they're being upfront about it. Like, I would take this as good news. Not that they got hit with ransomware, but that this is how to do it if it happens to you, right? Like, be super upfront about it. This is what happened. This is where we are in the process. You know, as is relevant, you know, get things updated and give people an opportunity to find out what's going on. And then they preemptively took a bunch of stuff down so that they could rebuild, you know, their machines and stuff in a fresh environment, get everything working the way that it should, and make sure that the malware problem that they had wasn't just, you know, we created a new user account and it's fine now. You know, like they're actually taking it seriously and deploying resources to make that a reality. So bravo to Final Sight for handling it exactly the way it seems like it should be handled.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So,
and, finally, they also just say, so far, we don't know what kind of ransomware it is.
Mm-hmm. And so far, it doesn't look like you said, nothing was stolen. So if there was any data there that might have been valuable to somebody, nobody has it who, at least as far as this ransomware attack goes, nobody has it that shouldn't. So that's also good. So our last bit today, which we have for, we just have a minute to talk about it, but it's sort of a PSA because it's kind of an unlikely thing to have happen, but people should know.
Yeah, so Jeff Butts wrote this up for us. He says, security researcher Trevor Spiniolis reported this bug to Apple months ago, but it still remains in iOS 15.2.
Great!
And he figured out that changing a HomeKit device name to a very large name can break the iPhone. And it sounds like maybe there is no limit, or the limit is just very large, because he says, in testing, the researcher used a 500,000 character long string.
Yeah, that's there. Most documents aren't 500,000 characters. So just to give people an idea what we're talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But what happens if you do that?
It sounds like it kind of just shuts your iPhone down.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find where he wrote about this. It says, if the bug is triggered on a version of iOS without the limitation and the device shares HomeKit data with the device on an iOS version with the limit, both can still be effective. It says rebooting the iPhone doesn't fix the problem. Restoring the device doesn't either, in case you want to log back in.
Yeah. So this is rough for a bunch of reasons. So there's a number of things that that can make this, because basically your phone is inoperable until you do something about it. And and rebooting the phone isn't it. So like it's more of a restart, restore from backup kind of a thing. So that said, what we wanted to do was just take a moment and give you some practical tips for smart home stuff, because we always like to give you a practical tip. That hasn't changed in 2022 either. Basically, some of the things that you can look for are a known company. So Wemo, for example, comes from the company Belkin, which is they've been around a long time. They make a lot of gear. They have a pretty good reputation. So, you know, maybe a Wemo outlet looks a little expensive, and, you know, for a lot less money, you can get one from a name that you can't pronounce. That's a company that you've never heard of. That's on Amazon for $3 or $4. Maybe don't buy that one. Because you don't know what's in it, basically, is what that comes down to. One of the other things about getting something from a company that's really popular is lots of people have pulled apart the software or pulled apart the hardware and figured out what makes them go and how they work and what kind of information they collect or ways that people could hack them. And you can save all that trouble by getting something that's a much more known quantity by buying the Wemo brand outlet or the Maras brand outlet instead of the one that's a lot less money that says maybe it'll work, because you can't always guarantee that the HomeKit certification, you know, it's fine if it's not HomeKit certified, but if you really want to make sure that it's going to work with HomeKit, just like made for iPhone and made for iPad, you know, certifications, like those are things that aren't particularly hard to get as long as you're a legitimate company. So that would be at least a couple of things I would suggest, you know. You probably have a couple about passwords, though, right, Andrew? I know that's the thing you talk about a lot.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, another thing that we like to say is change the... If they give you some kind of default login, change that to your own. Another thing I would look out for is if it requires you to have an online connection, like always, if it's trying to phone home to someone else's server.
Yep.
Like, look out for if it's a video product, for example, HomeKit Secure Video. That data is stored end-to-end encrypted in your iCloud Drive, and you have full control over that.
Yeah. Especially with video, because a lot of times, you know, those cameras are running 100% of the time. And if you have one inside, you probably have a vested interest in making sure that's not viewable somewhere else. Uh-huh. We've seen some stories about like people who were able to hack into other people's. I think we've talked about them here. People who were
a whole platform for that.
Yeah. Well, and there's like a whole, there's, you know, people I want looking in my house who can look in my house through the camera that I have or whatever. And so you want to watch for that stuff. So HomeKit, part of what makes HomeKit secure video appealing is that exact feature, end-to-end encryption. It doesn't leave, you know, it doesn't have to leave your device, that kind of thing. And you change the default password. If it comes with admin as the thing you have to log into and you're not allowed to change that, I would say you should maybe buy a different thing to do that thing. And and if you would like a recommendation, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com and I will do my best to make sure I get back to you with something that's better than the one that you have that makes it so the whole world can get into your network. Cause you don't want that to happen. So, so that's going to do it for us today. I think we've managed to figure out, remember how all of this works again. Sadly, it's like riding a depressing bike, I think, that we remember how to do it. So, Andrew, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah, indeed. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.